The Lake and Riley murder trial starts today. I'm Chris Foster, Fox News. She's the 22-year-old nursing student killed on a jogging trail at the University of Georgia in February. Fox's Madison Scarpino in Athens, Georgia.
There will be cameras in court throughout the entire trial. We'll see the suspect, 26-year-old Jose Ibarra, who ICE says entered the country illegally from Venezuela. Ibarra has remained pretty stoic through all of his pretrial hearings, and Riley's family will likely fill part of the courtroom. They've been understandably distraught every time they've seen their daughter's alleged killer in court. And Ibarra is facing 10 charges for Riley's death, including malice murder, kidnapping, aggravated assault with attempt to rape, and stopping Riley from making a 911 call.
Ibarra is being tried by a judge, not a jury, at his request. He was arrested and released three times before the murder after entering the country illegally, in New York for having his wife's 5-year-old son on the back of a moped, then in Georgia with his brother for allegedly stealing from a Walmart. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., for Health and Human Services Secretary, is the latest Trump nominee expected to face significant opposition during the Senate confirmation process.
Other nominees are likely to face smoother confirmations, including former Congressman Doug Collins to lead Veterans Affairs and North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum to be Interior Secretary. President-elect Trump is also nominating two of his criminal defense attorneys, Todd Blanche and Emile Beauvais, to senior Justice Department posts. Both are former federal prosecutors. In Washington, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Another tough swallow for some senators will be Attorney General nominee Matt Gaetz. Current Attorney General Merrick Garland this morning at a Drug Enforcement Agency summit on fentanyl.
In 2024, the DEA seized more than 47 million fentanyl pills.
7 out of 10 with enough drugs to kill someone, he says. It's another down day so far on Wall Street. The Dow is down 262. America's listening to Fox News.
I know it's hard to believe, but Christmas is right around the corner. And if you're thinking about what gift to get the firearms enthusiast that may be on your list this year, I highly recommend. I love this company. The rifles, the shotguns, the revolvers made right here in America by our friends at Henry Repeating Arms. Now, they've got 200 models to choose from, a wide variety of calibers and styles and prices, and you cannot go wrong with any of them. A great company. The easiest way to check out Henry's firearms is to get a copy of their free holiday gift guide. Just go to their website. It's henryusa.com. Click on the catalog button in the top right-hand corner. They will mail the gift guide and a few decals, and it won't cost you a penny. So if you want to put something made in America under your Christmas tree, make sure you order the free gift guide and get free decals from Henry USA today. That's henryusa.com. For a free gift guide and decals, henryusa.com. You're going to love this company. I love this company.
Broadcasting Americanism from the York Heating and Air Conditioning and ACUMA.com studios. 560 KBLU.
From the News 11 Information Desk, I'm Miriam Ordóñez. Getsemani Food Ministry and the City of San Luis were back in court Thursday for a motion to dismiss brought by the city against the lawsuit filed on behalf of Getsemani Baptist Church representatives. The United States government, through the Department of Justice, had an attorney present on behalf of the church. A judge spent an hour hearing arguments from both sides. The lawsuit came after the City of San Luis passed a new code last year prohibiting large trucks from parking in any residential area after a truck from the Getsemani Food Ministry hit a neighbor's fence. We reached out to the City of San Luis and they said they are not providing comments while the lawsuit is active. No final decision was made today. The judge says he plans to issue a decision soon. Catch us on the TV side on News 11 every weekday at 5, 6, and 10 p.m. for your latest local news, weather, and sports.
Sunny and windy today. Gusty winds at 15 to 20 miles per hour at times. Air quality alert till 9 tonight. 70 the high Friday, 46 Friday night. Sunny and 68 on Saturday, 47 Saturday night. 72 and sunny on Sunday. Listen to KBLU from 8 to 9 every Monday morning to Life, Death, and the Law. Sean Garner and Adam Hansen discuss estate planning options. Learn how you can plan your estate using a will or trust to protect your family and secure your legacy. That's Life, Death, and the Law every Monday, 8 to 9 a.m. on 560 KBLU.
Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma Investment Group's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis Sr., wealth advisor.
Good morning, Yuma. Money Talk, AM560, KBLU. George Davis Sr. here. Happy Friday out there. And Russ Clark.
What are
you doing today, Russ?
I'm doing well, Mr. George.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm behaving.
Good. Yeah. Good.
Trying hard.
I don't think I've been in since the elections.
Well, you know, it's been nonstop interesting.
Yeah,
and the interest, you know, really is more fascinating now than it was during the campaign. In that, what's this new administration going to look like? What's it doing? In fact, that's what we spent the last hour talking to John Gizzi out of Newsmax. He's on the White House press room. Mm. You know, he's there every day talking to Jean-Pierre, but. but he's great on the history. He's great on the understanding, the political. He knows all the players,
mm-hmm.
and it's great to talk to somebody that's in the pit that understands the attitudes and the people around it and those kind of things.
It's, yeah, definitely.
Not that he's a fortune teller, but he can tell us the history and where we been and that kind of stuff, which is really good.
Yeah, history is always good. Yeah. Awesome. Been Money Talk, AM560 KBLU, and I have a guest on today, but she's bringing coffee.
I don't even see her.
Well, she's texting me that she's bringing some coffee and going to be a few minutes late. Veronica Shore from the Arizona Community Foundation.
I like her a lot, and it's nice of her to bring coffee.
Isn't that nice? I should have made sure. I hope she does for you too, Russ. Maybe she's listening.
I've
she's turning
got
around.
Some here too. Yeah, now she's going to be even later.
So I see that, you know, it's kind of interesting talking about history.
Yeah.
I realize that Trump made history by...
Lots
of histories. But the one thing I found kind of interesting, and I wasn't familiar with this, he's the first president since 1892.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite a while ago, Russ, to win non-consecutive terms.
Yeah, there's only been one other.
Ah, yeah, must have been back in 1892. Who was that? I'm not even sure, but...
I'm sorry you asked, because I don't have it top of mind.
I'd be interested to see who that was. But there's only been one other that has won non-consecutive terms.
Correct.
Right?
That's okay. It. I knew there was only one that did that. And that's not an easy thing to do. I mean, who wants to vote for a loser?
Yeah. That was not an easy thing to do, since it's been done only twice in American history. So.
Yeah, but there's a lot of firsts. And
you're looking it up.
I am looking it up. Did she hear with the
morning.
Coffee?
You're fine. You're fine. How you doing?
But I didn't bring Russ any coffee.
I got listening? Your mic, so I can help. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Hi, Veronica.
Grover Cleveland, is that right?
Grover Cleveland, huh? We were talking about Trump winning. It's the first time since 1892 that a president had won non-consecutive terms.
Wow.
Yeah, that's...
Who was the first?
That's what he's looking up right
Grover
now.
Grover Cleveland was the 22nd and the 24th president of the United States.
Okay, so
Grover Cleveland.
Have got that one.
No. So. No, and it wasn't top of mind for me. I mean, I knew it happened, but I didn't remember it was Grover Cleveland.
Well, he's the only other one, so that's interesting.
Yeah.
Are you, I hope the wind dies down a little bit. We got the Balloon Festival tomorrow. You were talking about the fights. There's some fights coming up. And then tonight we got Tyson fighting somebody, which is going to be pretty cool.
Did you see the previews for that?
No, I did not see the previews for that.
Previous show, Tyson is an old man, does he?
He's wearing a little, little bikini bottoms.
Oh.
Well, they're trying to mess with the other guy's head.
But they're doing the weigh-in. They want to weigh as little less, I guess.
Yeah.
Russ says he looks like he's in pretty good shape. How old is he, Russ? 50?
I think he's 56 or something.
Okay.
Mike Tyson, you know, he's
he's crazy.
Very old, and you would think he'd have a rocking chair, not getting ready. 58. He's 58.
He's 58. He's only a year.
Born in 1966.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, he's not as old as you, George, but I mean, he's working on it.
I think that means you need to get ready to go in the boxing ring.
Yeah, well, I would not want to get in.
I could not with him.
Tyson, I'll tell you what, that would be the life insurance policy kicking in there for sure.
Well, then your wife might want you to go in there. Then make a deal. So it might be a good thing, George.
Yeah.
And maybe your local community foundation, if you have us in your legacy plans, too.
Oh, yeah, there we go. I'm talking to
nice
the right
segue.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, we've got event right after this too.
Yes. So today is National Philanthropy Day.
I didn't know there was such a thing.
It's a big nationwide celebration, and the Arizona Community Foundation of Yuma is celebrating it by renaming our conference room the Russ and Janet Jones Conference Room.
Oh, really? Well, they've been engaged in so many things.
Yeah. Ooh. So Russ is one of our original founders, and we all know that no man can do anything without his strong woman, right? That's so we're right. honoring both of them.
Oh, there you go.
Well, she is that.
Right.
And she's done so much, and with the orchestra and all that.
We wouldn't have an orchestra if it wasn't for Janet Jones. Yeah. So we are very incredibly grateful for her, bringing arts and culture to our community.
That's great.
Yeah. So that's at 9:30 this morning if you want to stop by our office at...
Oh, what is it, 9:30?
Oh, it starts at 9. The dedication will be 9:30.
Okay. Good.
We'll have a full breakfast bar. So if you want to stop by, 350 West 16th Street, Suite 304.
Breakfast bar, George.
Well,
mimosas. We have
Veronica
champagne.
Veronica brought me coffee, and now I get a breakfast bar.
Okay, 350 what now, West?
350 West 16th Street, Suite 304. Pancrazzi Building, third floor.
Yeah.
If you've ever wondered what that looks like inside, come see us.
Yeah, there's an elevator, George. You'll be all
right. You can
use
chairs.
You can get up to the top.
Chairs. Chairs. I saw Tyson running up and down those stairs the other day prepping for the fight.
Those are the stairs that the firemen on September 9/11 go up and down to honor the fallen heroes.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
They're pretty iconic. That whole building is pretty iconic.
Yeah, it is. That's awesome.
Yes.
So... Yeah. It's good to see you. Veronica Shore. What's your title? You're
I'm the regional director of the Arizona Community Foundation here in Yuma, and I've been there for almost 9 years. Can you believe that?
No. Seriously?
Yes.
I can. Now she brought me into the board. I'm on the board of advisors, Russ.
I didn't know it was that long.
Yes. Neither can I. I can't believe that either. I mean, we had a whole pandemic. Mm-hmm. I had a baby in between there, so everything just...
How's the baby?
He's 6 years old.
No. He's running. He's on the board.
He's almost running the foundation.
Grooming him young. Yeah.
Well, my
he's already got it. He's already got a
legacy fund. Yeah.
Set up. Yeah.
So my six year old son who's 14 now was 6 at the time when I started at the foundation. So he's a high school freshman. At Somerton High School. So.
But he grew up with you on the board there.
Yeah.
Running the foundation.
They know how to run a meeting. They know what it takes to put a meeting on and an event on. last night, my 6-year-old and I were in the office setting up for this morning's event. Mm-hmm. And he said, "You just have so many events, Mom." But he already knew how to help me set up.
But that's the program.
We just had the Heart of Yuma, too.
We just had the Heart of Yuma, which was a great success.
There was a picture in the front page yesterday.
The Yuma Sun did a great story about the work that the Arizona Community Foundation does here in Yuma. And we've been here for 30 years. And I get to be a part of, the last 10 years or so of the foundation's work. And the Heart of Yuma, every year I say, this is the last year we're having this event. And then the community shows up. We had over 400 people show up to the Heart of Yuma to celebrate all those that were honored that night.
You had enough room for that?
Oh, my goodness. So we used the Art Center and the Historic Theater.
Okay. Yeah, it was nice.
But giving is so important to people. Whether it's volunteering or giving money back, it is just so important to this community. And it's very unique to Yuma. We have 6 offices across the state. And I'm just going to brag and say Yuma always does it best. We're the ones that always show up.
What do you mean by the best?
Like, we have the most active and engaged community.
Okay.
I always say this. If there's somebody in need, the community rallies behind them and helps them out. If there's an animal in need, if there's the food bank needs food or whatever it is, the community just comes together and really makes it happen.
Okay.
I was talking with one of my friends who she had all these hotel quality towels to give back to the community in boxes, brand new. And she's like, "Veronica, can you help me distribute these?" And in 24 hours, we had dozens and dozens of brand new towels that we're giving to the shelters, to different places that needed the towels. And that's the beauty of community, right?
Mm-hmm.
And of knowing me, because I know all of the nonprofits.
Yeah, you want to get something done in the community, you talk to Veronica. That's right.
Yes. Yeah. I make giving easy because I know whatever questions you have, I have answers for.
Yeah. Well, maybe. I have a question for you.
Maybe.
Can you explain the Arizona Community Foundation for listeners? A lot of people have heard of it, but they don't really understand what what that does, you know, the impact it has on the community. Tell us a little bit about what the Arizona Community Foundation of Yuma is.
Sure. So the Arizona Community Foundation is, of course, a community foundation, and we have many funds, some that have been established by people who want to give back, like donor-advised funds, designated funds. We have collaborative funds. So a group of people, like, for example, came together in Somerton and said, we want to create a community fund that benefits Somerton high school youth. And this was way before the high school existed. So they created the Somerton Youth Fund, and people gave $25,000 here, $10,000 here. It's pooled resources. And now every year that Somerton Youth Fund gives an annual distribution of grants back into the community. So that those are our collaborative funds. We have field of interest funds, like we have a healthcare one. We have arts and culture. We have youth. So if you want to support any, if you have a passion to support any of those causes, but you don't have a specific nonprofit to give to, you can support those field of interest funds. And that's what we use in our grant cycle to grant out back to the community. And this year we did over $100,000 thanks to my board of advisors and our funding partners at the Sturgis Charitable Trust. And so really what I like to tell people is you don't give to the Arizona Community Foundation. You give through the Arizona Community Foundation.
Oh, okay. That's a good distinction.
Yes. And one of the good things about that is that we vet all the nonprofits. We make sure that they spend the money how they're supposed to. There's a lot of accountability there. Mm-hmm. And you just never know, because sometimes some nonprofits will pop up, but you don't know if they're real or not. Or you have people asking
like some
for
new ones or the ones that you're not familiar with.
Right.
And, okay.
And then sometimes nonprofits will lose their 501c3 status, but don't notify anybody.
Oh.
And that's where we come in to vet that they make sure that they're still current. Because then your tax donation won't be eligible if they're not a 501c3. But we also like to say that we're here to help give the big gifts, right? So, of course, cash is king. So if you want to support any of your nonprofits by giving cash, that's always probably the best thing. But we can do appreciated assets, like if you have stocks, bonds, or mutual funds, and you want to avoid gaining capital gains taxes at the end of the year, you can give to any of our funds at ACF, or you can create your own donor advised fund or designated fund. Of course, we have... the field of interest funds that I just talked about. You could also create a scholarship fund. Depending what really what your end of year situation is, we have many, many options.
Okay. So I have a friend that already took his RMD this year, but there were some other things he was trying to think of about, you know, giving. And you mentioned the appreciable, you know, like if you have a stock or some type of investment, you don't want to have to worry about the capital gains or pay the capital gains on there.
Right.
So you would donate that security in kind type of thing. So it goes to the, so, it can be like an appreciated stock or real estate, what other cash, obviously, but you're not going to really do cash on that type of situation.
If, so if you do have any type of appreciated stock and you want to give it to a nonprofit, but you're just not sure right now and it's end of year, right? It's crunch time right now. You can either open a donor advised fund or a designated fund with us, put the money in, get your tax credit, and then throughout the years decide which nonprofit.
Oh, okay, so it doesn't have to be all okay. You can just get it done by year end.
Yes.
To get that, avoid that capital gain, but then you can decide on where.
Yes.
Okay.
And then let's say you don't want to make any grants for the next 2 years. You just want your money to grow in the fund that you've created. ACF invest the money on your behalf. So we have different pools that you can invest the money in and it'll grow. So we have a 2 year minimum pause. So like you can donate to your DAF or your designated fund and you don't have to make a grant for 2 years. You can just think about it and we can do your research and all of that stuff. And then you can make grants to as many nonprofits as you're allowed to, as you want.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you can find the instrument or the vehicle that's going to help you as far as the giving and possibly, you know, help you out in taxes. And then from there, make your choices or your donations.
Yeah. So like last year, it was last year I had a donor who who sold a business. So she came and opened a DAF with us, and she wasn't sure where she wanted to give right then and there. We literally got the DAF open like December 28th.
Which is a donor advised fund.
Yeah, donor advised fund. We had it open like right at the end of the year because I work through December 31st at midnight, right? and then January, the first, a couple weeks later in January, she called me and said, she's like, I think I know how I want to make my disbursements. So we sat down and made a plan, and then we updated our system, and now she gives annual grants to different organizations.
Okay. Wow, excellent. Good example. We're going to take our first break here with Veronica Shore from Arizona Community Foundation, and we'll be right back. Money Talk.
Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Ra ra ah ah ah, ra ma ra ma ma, ga ga, ooh la la, what's your bad romance?
Welcome back, Yuma Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. Happy Friday out there. It's our time of year, Russ.
What time of year is that? I mean, I like the cooler weather.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah, the cooler weather is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I take my dogs out for a walk and don't have to.
Yeah. You know, although we got other things to complain about. It's too cold.
Too windy.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, we're going to find it.
I know. I like That's the fan nice. Going on in yeah. the house, and my wife's all turning it off. What are you doing? You know, it's cold. She gets colder and easier than I do. Makes
well, you have more insulation.
Yeah, we do. Thanks, Russ. Anyway, I got Veronica Shore here from Arizona Community Foundation of Yuma, and we're talking about end of year strategies or just you know, bill of giving and in general, charitable contributions, and pretty much the thing one of the things I like most about being on the board and Arizona Community Foundation is you can pretty much. You know, whatever your heart desires, you know, whatever you like to give to, if it's some, you know, most people will give locally, especially if they have a passion. But yes. I have some friends that like, you know, really are in touch with Shriners.
Right.
You know, or Ronald McDonald House and things right. that are, you know, real passionate about, or they've had a child that had to go there or something. So that's an option too.
Yeah. So even though we're called the Arizona Community Foundation of Yuma, we are a statewide organization, but we have donors who make grants all over the world.
Mm.
So we have some people who maybe lived in South Africa and they want to support programs in South Africa or South America or Mexico. And we help process those worldwide grants as well.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And we have people who are lifelong humans, but they went to Yale or Harvard. So they want to support their alma mater, right? Uh-huh. So we make grants to them as well or scholarships.
Do you have
them.
A lot of people that do U of A?
Yes. I'm a Sun Devil, so that's a sore subject.
I'm sure there's a lot of
We have a lot of Wildcats. Yeah. we actually have the Griffin Family Farm Scholarship at ACF, and they are big U of A supporters. So
okay.
they every year they support very many, many, many students who go to U of A for agriculture.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. See, that's something that's interesting. They can specifically target agriculture.
Yes. So okay. they specifically targeted students who are going into ag, and they have some really good success stories of some graduates that went to U of mm-hmm. A on their scholarship.
Oh, outstanding. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, great family.
Great family. Yeah, we were very, like you said, blessed and fortunate to have
Mary
some great
Campbell.
Families and you know, the Yuma community does come together in times of need, and especially, you know, for gifting and giving.
Yes. So. Yeah, we have. I'm trying to think of the other scholarship funds that we have. We have some that are specific to COFA or Antelope, some that are specific to Yuma High. So there's various scholarships that are tailored to the specific high schools. So if right now you're an alumni of any high school and you are thinking of giving back and you want to establish a scholarship to benefit a student at the high school, just give me a call and we can make it happen. 539-5343.
And your address, where you're at? Your
350 West 16th Street, Suite 304.
Yeah, that big Pancrazzi building. Yeah. You can't miss.
She's up there on the third floor.
With the beautiful view, yes.
Yeah, it is. You know, you mentioned the schools and scholarships for students. Is it, so can you, like the infrastructure, like you can't donate and help with like schools in general. It has to be more for scholarships and something.
No,
of that
so
nature.
If you
can
have you,
like
if you
they're,
have
if
a,
they're doing a project, for example, or I don't know, upgrading a field or doing something.
You most definitely can do that through us.
Oh, you can.
Yeah. So I have a few examples. So very recently, we had that Osborne Legacy Gift that was a CRUT that matured 20 years after it was established. It was established in 2004, and it just matured this year. So the city of Yuma Parks and Rec got a $1 million endowment that now is established at ACF that now every year is going to kick out a grant to them about, I think, $42,000.
Wow.
And although that's going to be made to them every year, that $1 million endowment is going to keep growing every year because we're going to invest it.
Mm-hmm.
So over time, that endowment is not going to minimize. It's going to keep growing and growing, and the city will have received over $1 million back through the grant making.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, that's more, and that's used for Parks and Rec?
For Parks and Rec
specifically needs to be. Okay.
Yeah. And then we have Alexis Liggett wanted to really work. I'm going to stick to the park theme. Wanted to really do the inclusive play project, right? And turn the West Wetlands into an accessible playground for people with special needs. So she reached out to me, and then I reached out to my team, and we kind of looked at different funds that we had, and we were able to find a fund to help give over $40,000 to help establish that inclusive play project. So if there's a need in the community, I always encourage people to reach out to me. Of course, if you're a nonprofit, because I have donors who may be interested in supporting those programs.
Mm-hmm.
I have the Fourth Avenue Gym Athletic Fund at ACF, and we all know that Justin Hale does an amazing job fundraising all year long, but now he's thinking about the future of the high schools, and he established this endowment, which he contributes to every year, who will eventually hopefully help pay for all of the equipment on its own, right? And he's really thinking about the athletics and making sure that our athletes have the best equipment. So there's just different little things. Some of the grant making is through our grant cycle. Some of it is because of special needs or special asks. Kokopah Indian Tribe, they needed to replace the lights in one of their outdoor places out there in their tribe. And I went out there with USDA and a few other people, and we got them $50,000 to update those lights. And it was all just because, you know, they invited us on a site visit. We got to see what was going on. I said, look, I think I have somebody who can help pay for this. And then I went back and did my research, and then we helped pay for it. So now they're going to get new lights.
Outstanding. Yeah, that's excellent, the way how flexible that can be. So this time of year, I mean, there's so much, you know, ways to give and you know, use the Arizona Community Foundation. How do you know if you're interested in something like a donor advised fund? And what is that? You know, a scholarship fund. You talked about a collaborative fund already. So how do people, make an appointment with you and come see you and say, this is what I'm interested in. Help me out, Veronica, and then they have questions and you come up with a plan?
Yes. So a donor advised fund is really set up to support multiple organizations and causes, and then you make your annual grant recommendation.
Is that usually an individual, or can these be like a Rotary Club?
So the donor advised funds is individual.
Okay.
The collaborative ones would be your Rotaries.
Okay.
Or nonprofit ones. Or nonprofit.
Or corporations?
Corporations as well.
Okay.
Yeah. So we have corporate DAFs. So you could have a corporate DAF, a donor advised fund.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So we encourage, if you have a business and you guys give annually a lot and you want a smart way to give back, just definitely make an appointment with me and we can talk about options. Mm-hmm. Meeting with me and talking to me is absolutely free. There's no charge. There's actually no charge at all to work with the Community Foundation until you establish a fund. Of course, there's annual fees, but our annual fees are very minimum, $750 a year.
Okay.
$750 a year.
Yeah. And ROI,
for a lot of work that we do.
Return on investment. Yeah. No, I would agree.
For all the work that we do, that's nothing.
And some of these funds, I know people probably think, oh my gosh, I need a whole lot of money to get started with. But like a donor advised fund, the startup or the minimum startup is $25,000, correct?
Yes. At ACF, the funds, all of our funds start at minimum $25,000. And that's really to make sure that you're getting your return on investment, right? Mm-hmm. Anything less is probably not going to produce anything. And then the admin fees would eat it up. So $25,000 is the minimum. And really, you can every year contribute to it. And before you know it, you'll have a $100,000 fund. Mm-hmm.
If I started, say I started a donor advised fund, am I the only one that can contribute to it? Or
yes.
Can I find, okay.
Yes.
So, but there are some, like you were talking about, with people have an interest that they're, you know, like a mm-hmm. collaborative interest where a lot of people can say, hey, I want to contribute to
So an example of a collaborative fund, and this is where many donors come together to give back, is the Yuma Catholic. So Yuma Catholic, Sonny Rodriguez back in the late 90s, early 2000s, started a collaborative fund to benefit Yuma Catholic. Yuma Catholic didn't exist at the time. It was still a
concept. Yuma Catholic High School?
Yeah, Yuma Catholic High School. They were working. It was a concept that was becoming Yuma Catholic, right? So he got a few people rallied up, and they created this fund that now annually benefits Yuma Catholic. So that's an example of a collaborative fund.
And that's an ongoing also.
That's an ongoing, with it. And people can donate to that annually. So if you have a year-end gift or a monthly gift or something like that, you can donate to that, like almost, you know, when they do like the monthly pledges or annual pledges to a nonprofit, you can do it to a collaborative fund.
Okay, that's interesting because that kind of ties into my next question on the donations.
Mm-hmm.
If I had a required minimum distribution, like this year I needed to take my RMD, which the listeners maybe not all familiar with, but an RMD is a required minimum distribution that they raise the age to 73 now. But once you hit that age of 73, you have to take so much from your IRA, and that's going to be a taxable event for you.
Right.
Can I donate that RMD from my IRA into a collaborative fund? I could do it into my donor advised fund.
No, you can't do it into a donor advised fund. It has to be a designated fund.
It has to be a designated fund.
Yeah, you cannot do your IRAs to a DAF.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I could. Okay. I see what you're saying. Yes.
Yeah. So it could be a designated fund. It can't go into your DAF. IRAs, that's a common misconception.
Yeah,
so
that's an important
concept. It cannot go into a DAF. It has to be into a designated fund. And I feel really smart by saying that. I learned something.
That's because you are really smart. I learned something new too. Yeah, that's great.
Happy birthday.
RMDs cannot go into a DAF.
No, they cannot. So happy birthday. If you turn 73 or older this year, happy birthday. And if you have a required minimum distribution that's going to increase your AGI and you have to get rid of that money. I mean, if you have to do good with that money, right? Giving is a choice. Mm-hmm. Give me a call and let's make something really, really good happen. 539-5343.
All right. We're up against another break. This is Money Talk, AM560 KBLU. We'll be right back.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they believe they manage money for their clients differently from many other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. Visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com and find out why investors switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
Welcome to the jungle.
That's right. It's a weekend.
Yeah, it is a weekend.
Busy weekend.
Would you consider it the jungle here since Trump won? I mean, I know there's a lot of people up in arms over all these.
I think it gets more interesting and
choices that he's throwing out there.
Wow, it's been exciting. It's been like, wow, you know, unexpected from my part that he's picking.
Some of them have some of the choices that have been unexpected.
Yeah, okay. Matt Gaetz for Attorney General. I mean, I like him and all that stuff, but usually you get somebody that's like so old they're ready to retire. But younger people coming into it now. Vivek Ramaswamy.
Well, his vice president choice is pretty young, too.
Yeah, he's only 40.
I've been saying that for years, Russ. They need to get some people in there that are younger than us.
They really did, though.
Yeah.
They did. They're picking more and more of them. And some names that are known, well known, sometimes because they do rattle cages.
Mm.
And I'm okay. I mean, we need some movers and shakers. We're getting people.
What he ran on is making change and, you know, make America great again. So you got to rattle some cages to get there.
But scaring people. Especially if you have
change is kind of scary.
A government job, and they're talking about cutting the budgets, you know, because we're like $6.5 trillion now from just a few years ago, $4.5 trillion. And
just in interest?
No, this is the total budget.
No, the debt's in $42 trillion.
Is it 40? It's over 40?
Something like that. It's just great.
That's not the debt. But just the budget.
Not to get political because, that's what they need to address. I mean, I have my Social Security, you know, my National Social Security Advisor now, and they talk a lot about that. That's the biggest question. Is Social Security going to be there, or these other government programs, Medicare, in jeopardy? Yeah, they are because of that deficit, and I hope they tackle it. And new position for whether you like Elon Musk or not, but I think it's a
two smart guys.
It's an interesting name that at least they're thinking about. Hey, let's do something about the spending and the interest. Pretty soon, it's going to be more than GDP. Then we're in trouble. It's irreversible.
They're advisors. It's not a cabinet position. They're advisors.
Yeah,
that is going to have some great ideas. And they do have great ideas.
That's what we need, bringing the ideas to the table.
Wouldn't be billionaires, probably.
It's kind of like Veronica Shore over at Arizona Community Foundation.
Is she a
bring the ideas.
I am. $1.4 billion is the Arizona Community Foundation.
Is that what it is now, right?
Yes, we are at $1.4 billion.
That's awesome. I remember.
In assets under management.
Oh. Right. I mean, not your money. Yeah, under management.
Everyone's going to be stalking me now. So I'd like to clarify, you know, the Arizona Community Foundation does have $1.4 billion under assets. Locally, we have about $23 million in funds here. Mm. It doesn't mean we have $23 million to give annually. It means that we're managing those assets. And every year we give about $3 to $5 million back into the community.
Ooh. And those assets are you know, being invested. So
yes.
they're gaining. They're not just sitting still and all that.
Exactly.
Who does all those decisions?
We have because we're a community foundation, we cannot work with just one investment firm. We work with a national variety of investment people. That's not my area of expertise. But. Look on our website. We have all of our investors there.
That's nice. You have people like George that understand the systems, understand.
I call George at least once a day, you know, asking him for clarifying questions because he knows the investments, not me.
That's correct. I like talking to her on a daily basis, too.
On a daily basis, maybe.
Yeah, it gets a little tiresome. Sometimes text.
He's like, oh, it's Veronica Shore again, blocked.
Are you allowed to do that?
No, I'm not. I tried it. It didn't. It only lasted for maybe an hour.
I found another number to call.
Somehow she circumvented the block, and I'm okay.
Cautious. Yeah.
No, but when it comes to the investment, that is an interesting part. Arizona Community Foundation, I kind of think of it as almost like a big endowment.
Yes.
Yeah, like you would hear for some of these colleges.
Well, some of them are, right? Mm-hmm. You're only going to use.
Yeah, we don't. For a lot of our funds, we don't touch the principal because of donors' wishes. Right. So they're in perpetuity. They're forevermore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And with the sheer size and monetary amount, you know, it opens you up to different alternative investments and income streams and stability that you would get, you know, with having that type of an endowment fund and having someone manage it, kind of like you would a big college fund or something. So,
But yeah, and if you're working with your financial advisor right now and you're a millionaire, almost a millionaire, and you're working with the financial advisor and you love them so much that you can't even see yourself moving any money away from them to work with the Community Foundation, the good news is you don't have to. We will work with your financial advisor to help you make grants back into the community. I want everyone to know that I'm the charitable expert and I am the expert in nonprofits in the community. I'm not the expert in investments. That's George.
So you have those available.
Yeah, but we do have them available. Yeah. But I definitely like to work with local advisors as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found that interesting because I think it was about a third of the
assets under management assets are externally managed. Yeah.
So advisors such as myself, that's some of the worry. Well, I turn my money over to
George.
The foundation. And now I don't, that's my assets under management that I'm giving up to somebody else. But it doesn't work that way. Sometimes the situation, being a fiduciary, we need to do what's in the best interest of the client.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
Sometimes that is the best interest. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it makes sense to, still manage the assets in-house at Yuma Investment Group and then work with Veronica on ways to distribute mm-hmm. that money and what we're looking for as far as the risk tolerance and investments go.
So did you know that 90% of financial advisors lose their clients and that relationship once they die? Clearly, right?
Oh, no. That makes sense to me. Yeah,
and,
legacy planning. Yeah.
Right. So unless they're working with the Community Foundation and including the rest of the family and charitable mm-hmm. giving, then they can keep the heirs and other family members as clients as well. Hmm. But right now, financial advisors, if you're working just with the client, when your client passes, that's the end of that relationship.
Yeah.
If you're working with us and including the family and legacy planning and legacy giving, then I think it increases to 65% retention mm-hmm. rate.
Yeah, from 10%.
So we're your friends.
It's a big deal.
We get you business long term. Forever.
Yeah. And that's crucial for, financial advisors and for the family. And plus, think of all the impact you're having on the community that's, because if you have the children involved and they're, my kids, I'd love to get them involved and have them with, grow up, given to charity and involved in the, the foundation and what we're doing too. But then you're also continuing that legacy on for when I pass away, whether I have a fund or it's a donor advised fund or whatever type of fund, and say Matt ends up taking over it. I don't know if that's something we could do,
so,
but that would be, he knows about it.
I keep saying giving is a choice, and it's a very, very personal choice for people to decide to give back. You don't have to be a millionaire to give back, and you don't have to have any money right now. So if you want to start making legacy plans.
Why are you looking at Russ when you say that?
Russ still has about another 100 years to go.
Exactly. I'm getting younger.
He's the quiet.
What do they
he's
say,
the quiet millionaire we talk about.
What do they say? Like,
what
is it? There's a saying in Spanish where it says, hierba mala nunca muere, which means, I'm trying to translate it in English in my brain, but the wicked live forever or something like that.
Oh, well, that would be me.
I've heard my mother-in-law say that.
Something like that. Something like that. But legacy planning is really, really important to our community because if you don't have children or family to leave your assets to when you pass, leaving them to the Community Foundation to give through the Community Foundation is essential. If not, who takes everything when you pass? The government, right? Probate?
Yeah.
Somebody? Somebody swallows it up? I don't know. Do good with your money. Be smart. Plan ahead. Let's beat them. Let's do good with our money here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take care of our community. We heard of, what's going on nationally, but we don't want to be in debt here.
No. And we have a lot of big givers in this community. Particularly the agricultural business, particularly, is always noted for helping out. And they don't even want recognition.
No, that's the hardest. So that's the hardest part of Heart of Yuma for me. So every year we get all of these nominations of all of these great people. And they don't accept their nominations. They don't want to be recognized for the great work that they do.
Right.
I have to beg people to show up and accept their award.
They're wonderful people, though.
Yes.
I mean, they don't do it.
Yes.
For a page in the paper.
No.
They don't want that.
No. Then I have to do it. Then I have to be front page of the paper for them.
There you go. You just go do it. You're good at it.
Yeah. So there's many, many ways to work with the Community Foundation. And we're here. We're locally. And we're here to help you with any questions you may have in terms of charitable giving. Give us a call, 539-5343, or stop by and visit us this morning, 350 West 16th Street. Suite 304. Right. We're having an open house right now.
And there's something
champagne
to eat.
And mimosas. Wow. And breakfast.
Wow. George can't say no to that.
Chef Eddie Guzman is catering the breakfast.
So when you have a mimosa, you...
I no.
We'll have an alcohol-free mimosa.
Oh, okay.
Orange juice.
That will be me. I need to work.
It's Friday, TGIF, National Philanthropy Day.
Do you really have alcohol-free champagne there?
We do. I don't know. Is there such thing?
Yeah.
Oh. I would assume, but I don't know.
Alcohol-free beer, alcohol-free champagne. I would
Perrier,
think so.
We'll put Perrier with orange juice and call it a mimosa.
Sparkling water.
Sparkling water, yes.
We're up against our last break here. Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. Happy Friday out there.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they believe they manage money for their clients differently from many other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. Visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com and find out why investors switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Neil Armstrong waited 6 hours and 39 minutes to step onto the surface of the moon. And even DiCaprio had to wait 22 years to win an Oscar. You can wait until your destination. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
AM 560, KBLU. George stepped out for a second, but Veronica's still here.
I'm still here. Hello.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to the open house, and that's in the Pancrazzi building, 350.
Yes. West 16th Street.
Yeah.
Suite 304. We have elevator and stairs on the north end of the parking lot.
But you're going to have some breakfast or something. You might want to take stairs, burn a few calories, you know, then you don't have to feel guilty about the extra food.
Yeah. We're getting a Panera in that building, in that corner, too. We have a Starbucks, and we're getting a Panera.
Wait, so, a bread thing?
The bread thing, yeah. The Panera Bread restaurant.
Right?
Yeah.
You're looking forward to that?
I think it's opening soon. It's almost done.
Yeah, the Starbucks right on the corner. That's always busy. Do you ever see a Starbucks that's not busy?
Oh, my God. That's why I was late this morning. I put in an order, and it's usually done in 2 minutes, and it said 20 minutes. I'm like, what?
Yeah, but I'm going to wait. I need my coffee injection. George is back.
Hi, George.
I made it. Yeah, I had too much coffee this morning.
So. There you go. It's Veronica's fault.
So I know Veronica's got to get going here. We got that
open house. Come visit us.
Yeah,
yes,
definitely. So I keep saying we because I'm also on the board. I'm on the part of the advisory board for.
Well, then you should be there fixing burritos.
I should be and passing out mimosas.
He's going to be our Vanna
one thing. I did want you to touch on real quick before, and then you need to take off because. You always hear cash is king, but not necessarily when it comes to charitable giving.
Right.
We talked about appreciated stocks. What can people think of giving to the community or wherever they choose as far as a fund? What are things that you can give other than cash, other than stock? You can do real estate, correct? Can you
real
do collectibles?
Estate,
what, like when you pass away?
Collectibles. So we do have a gift acceptance committee that will review any and all gifts coming through the foundation.
Oh.
And we've had everything from, somebody said that they were donating a cobalt. And I'm like a horse or a gun, right? Like, I didn't know what it was at the time. It was a gun, but it was like a really fancy
collectible
gun. And so we really truly have the capacity to accept and review any type of gift.
Oh,
so just give me a call.
Okay.
And then we'll have our gift acceptance committee review it.
Yeah, so I want people to realize it's not just limited to cash and securities or funds or anything. It can be.
That's probably the easiest things to give, but we do have the capacity to, you know, review all other
real estate's ideas another one that's pretty obvious, but maybe not necessarily. So, okay.
Yeah, I'm finding out there's a lot of older people who have a lot of collectibles, and they just don't have the capacity to sell on eBay, or they just want to give it to get, you know, the taxable donation.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, I'll see you in
a little bit.
Yeah. Can you go get started? And sure, appreciate you being on the show. Veronica Shores with Arizona Community Foundation of Yuma. And
come see us.
Yeah, by year end, some planning and some gifting. So we'll see.
If you want to donate any stock or anything like that, December 23rd is the last day.
Oh, December 23rd.
December 23rd, yeah. So
okay.
We'll see you then. We'll see you before then.
Thank you, Veronica.
Thank you.
So that just leaves you and me, George. Oh, now the dog has woke up. See, Veronica woke the dog up to say hello, and the dog doesn't want her to leave. Bye-bye. Yeah, she doesn't want her to go.
A little fired up there, so.
So are you going over there, George, or you got to go to work?
I'm heading over there. I'll have to work after that, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. She does such an awesome job, and that's great.
She's always upbeat.
Always upbeat, always ready to help, always ready to answer questions. Like she said, if you want to just get an idea of what charitable giving is like in Yuma, you just talk to Veronica, and she knows everybody and everything about it. And at least you can educate yourself and see if that's something that might interest you for your planning and incorporating that in your financial planning, legacy planning, Russ. So, I was looking a little bit at some of these certain sectors now that Trump is in office. And I didn't realize, because you hear a lot about the U.S. and we're here in the United States, but actually growth has been very strong in India and Brazil.
India and Brazil?
India and Brazil have had great growth, kind of like the U.S., with positive momentum in China, the U.K., and Canada, too.
Wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah. India's got, a lot of people, but it's pretty interesting. So overall, I was reading this article from these guys, Ned Davis Research. They're pretty sharp cookies. They have some different funds and investment that they manage. But they're expecting, the manufacturing PMI has been showing that they think that we're going to finish strong this year. The stocks are going to finish strong. Non-farm payroll was up 2.2% in Q3, which was a good number. So optimism, in the markets, and I know we've had a little bit of a pullback the last couple of days, but when Trump got in, the market really, did real well.
It
kind of moved from cyclicals to basically to industrials. Like they think maybe value is going to be taken over, and if you're going to be making a move, allocating some of that growth that you've done really well in as far as an advance and protect method and moving to value. But we've been adding value at Yuma Investment Group for the last year and a half, and our certified financial analysts over at Carson have done a great job and been bullish on the market over a year and a half now. So But the S&P is up 6.1%, and let's see. No, they're up more than that. They're hitting new highs. The Russell 2000, pretty much all the market's been having a great year. So investments, 401ks are doing really well. But here's the one, Russ, with the recently favored defensive sectors. So they've been increasing allocations to financials. I don't know if you heard that. Mm-hmm. Now, less regulatory, not as much regulation on the banks. So financials have been a big one that people have been moving into, consumer discretionary and communication services. So that's where they've been allocating money into and reducing to free up that money. They've been reducing. I was a little surprised by this one, healthcare, which they downgraded to underweight. So they take the money from healthcare and add it into the financials and discretionary sector. And then they've also downgraded utilities.
Wow.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you think about energy, you think about utilities, but they are different, you know.
Well, and I wonder what the utilities are going to do under Trump because, you know, we're doing the drill baby drill is his guarantee and all that. And I don't know how that affects our utilities, but the price of energy should come down. But that doesn't make the stocks go up necessarily.
It kind of depends. I mean, there's, a fine line between the price of say, energy and stock. Like natural gas was very low, you know, dirt cheap, and now it's gone up with Trump because we figure to use more of it. So when that demand picks up, the price goes up, and that's good for those corporations. So what do you think about this tariff talk? When he first term, it was more concentrated with China, correct?
Well, yeah, mostly.
Mostly.
But that wasn't it.
There's some talk this year or this term that it's going to be more broader tariff with Mexico and other countries. Do you think that's going to have an effect on the overall global market
let's take a look at what it did in 2016 when he did it. And people were panicking, and they said, oh, my goodness, it's going to destroy the American market. It's going to be too expensive to buy beer.
Because it's going to be driving up prices.
Never happened.
Yeah.
It didn't, and nothing went up. It went long. You know, we're a big consumer. We're not the only one out there, but they did not raise. It didn't raise the prices. But there's been a talk now that eliminate income tax and go straight to tariff tax. Now, I mean, if you put tariffs on at that rate, it is going to make an impact. I mean, it will increase pricing. But if you're not paying any income tax, the trade-off will be favorable because the price is going to go up less than what you save in income tax, theoretically. Now, that's a pipe dream.
I mean,
that's something that Trump talked about, reducing and eliminating income tax and going to tariffs. Now, and what the tariffs will do is create more jobs because more business will come to the United States.
We'll
be more competitive.
Yeah. And helps create jobs.
Mm-hmm.
How about the Social Security? I hadn't heard this, but I guess when he was campaigning,
they're going to save it.
He talked about not taxing Social Security anymore.
Correct. And people talked about not taxing tips.
Yeah, not taxing tips. But so yeah. I hadn't heard about the Social Security one.
Yeah,
not
that was
Social
new
Security.
One.
But that was. But how do you come up with that extra revenue then? If you're going to be not taxing Social Security.
That's a whole different deal. But I think by not taxing Social Security, that's the same as not taxing income. Eventually, that's the goal, was not taxing income.
Okay.
Maybe he's going to do it in chunks. Maybe start with Social Security and some other things and make it up.
So where's the revenue come from? That's the other one.
Revenue?
That's the argument. Where's the revenue?
Why do you need revenue if you've got Musk and Ramaswamy cutting the budget? I mean,
we need revenue.
We need some. But we get a lot from more than just income tax, more than from Social Security tax. I don't know what a percentage that is, but I can't imagine it being very big.
Being too big. Okay.
Yeah, the tariff thing would increase quite a bit, the amount of money we took in. In fact,
so income tax on individuals, not corporations.
He was also talking about cutting that way down to 10%.
Right, but not eliminating it.
Yeah, well, to start off with,
okay.
I imagine.
Okay.
But it could be made up in tariffs, possibly. I don't know. But I like the ideas because we'll tax ourselves into poverty.
So
we're out of time. You have 10 seconds.
We are out of time, I know. Oh, 10 seconds.
Or no, you have 15 seconds.
Okay, well, enjoy the fights and enjoy your weekend. And Yuma, this is Money Talk, AM560 KBO. Veronica, I know you're listening. Thanks for coming on. All right, bye-bye.
The opinions voiced in Money Talk with Tom Rush and George Davis Wealth are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial or tax advisor prior to investing. Guests on Money Talk are not affiliated with CWM LLC. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.